Let's pray. Father God, as we have just heard the reading about the wise men travelling, Lord, to see your son born in the manger, Lord, may we come to you expecting, Lord, to hear from you this morning, Lord, through songs of worship we've already sung and our confession. Lord, may we continue to listen carefully to what you want to say to each of us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, apologies for sounding like this. It's not pleasant. Not for me and not for the people I live with either. Can you hear me okay? Yeah, okay. So, I've always struggled a bit with the idea that the wise men got it wrong. After all the planning and the preparation into the predicting and the prophecies, the announcement of the birth of the Messiah, and then leaving it in the hands of supposedly a few wise men to be witnesses of the birth of the Messiah to all the nations. Jesus born for all, because after all these are Gentiles who are coming to see the newborn baby. How can so much preparation go in to this? And then they look for him in the wrong place. How can this happen? But maybe in the bigger scheme of things, maybe it would have been actually difficult to pinpoint where the star actually rests. Considering the distance between Earth, and somebody in the congregation can no doubt tell me, distance between stars and Earth, there's going to be somebody here, isn't there? Probably, who can tell me this? A lot, you can tell me this. What are you saying, John? We know a lot more than you. Yeah, you're right. I know this. So considering the Earth distance between stars and Earth, and actually the distance between the palace and Bethlehem is only about 9 miles. So considering the vast difference over light years between the star and the place it rests over, and the actual distance of Bethlehem and the palace, maybe 9 miles is nothing. Maybe, okay, you need to take account of things aren't quite what they appear to be. You're looking in the wrong place because you're thinking it's resting over the palace. But actually, this is in God's plan. This is in God's plan that the wise men should go to Herod first. And Herod's reaction was well in line of what we know from his character. He was given the King of the Jews. He was given that title by Rome. But the people never accepted this. The Jewish people never accepted Herod as their king. And Herod was constantly worried about losing his position, any threat to his kingdom. He wasn't happy about, to say the least. And now he hears of a king to be born. So all his insecurities kick in. And the murder of the innocents is instigated. Herod's family weren't even safe. Herod led a life of self-destruction and destruction of those around him who he saw as a threat. And it's no surprise that the people he led followed his way. Herod was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod and the people he led were frightened. This very time when God is pouring his blessings into this place, and the people respond again with fear. In John chapter 1, you'll know these words, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Those words, prophesied that Jesus will not be accepted by his own. Herod, the people of Jerusalem were frightened. And yet the wise men did find him. And they gave their best, financially worthwhile gifts. With them they brought clues as to the future trouble for this baby in the manger. They brought some gold, a gift worthy for a king, and frankincense worthy of a priest and to be in the temple. And the reading from Isaiah 60, we have gold and frankincense and camels are listed among the tributes of nations and kings. And in Psalm 72, kings bring gifts to Israel's kings and fall down before him. All these prophecies fulfilled in the birth of a baby. So the wise men brought these gifts to the king. What is left for us to offer God today? One of my favourite Christmas carols, I'm not actually sure I've sung it this year, is In the Bleak Midwinter by Christina Rossetti. Sorry, hold on. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. I think I'd have walked out if I'd have started singing. And you know this last verse. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. Give my heart. I love that. The idea of giving Jesus my heart, and that he'd even want it. To be in a relationship with Jesus. And how do we do this? It's through prayer. Which then leads me nicely into the Alpha Prayer course that's going to start on Wednesday. Jesus, when he lived his earthly life, didn't go alone. He was in constant relationship with the Father. At the beginning of Luke 6, we have Jesus being challenged by the Pharisees regarding the behaviour of those who were following him. They were walking along and they were picking grains of wheat to eat. And the Pharisees are saying, what are they doing? It's a Sabbath. Why are they doing this? And Jesus challenged them with, don't you remember what David did when he was hungry? And then on another occasion, Jesus is watched carefully to see if he's going to heal the man with the withered hand. Again on the Sabbath. So Jesus is in this midst of trouble, in this midst of being challenged. And at this point in Luke, he hasn't chosen his disciples yet. We have those two occasions, and then it goes on to say in Luke 6, verse 2. Now during those days he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. So Jesus prayed. It goes without saying, we should pray too. The disciples didn't ask to be taught many things directly, but one of the things he did ask was teach us to pray. Now the thing is that these are Jewish men. They already know how to say prayers. But in Luke 11, we have Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. They wanted to pray in a different way. A different way to how they'd already been instructed in their Jewish faith. Why? As Calvin puts it, so this is, again, somebody else will be able to tell me how old this is. I can't remember. Ian, how old is this? John Calvin? Oh, come on, you know when he lived. Somebody knows when he lived, a long time ago. Years and years ago, wasn't it? And Calvin said, believers do not pray with a view of informing God about things unknown to him, or of stimulating him to do his duty, or urging him as though he were reluctant. On the contrary, they pray in order that they may awaken themselves to seek him, that they may exercise their faith in meditating on his promises, that they may ease themselves from their anxieties by pouring them into his heart. in a word, that they may declare that from him alone they hope and expect, both for themselves and for others, all good things. Now that was quite a long passage. I'm just going to change it and put in, make it more personal. I do not pray with the view to informing God about things he doesn't already know about, or trying to get him to do his duty, or trying to urge him as if he were reluctant. On the contrary, I pray in order that I may awaken myself to seek him, that I may exercise my faith in meditating on his promises, that I may ease myself from my anxieties by pouring them into his heart. In a word, that I may declare that from him alone and him alone only I hope and expect, both for myself and for others, all good things. I don't know about you, but sometimes prayer to me is a bit like this. I don't know about you, but prayer to me is sometimes like this. God, it's me.
I know.
God, I'm in trouble.
I know.
God, I need help.
I know.
God, I'm on my knees.
I know.
God, only you can help me.
I know.
God, I don't know what to do.
I know.
Oh God, I've left it until it's this bad.
I know.
Again.
I know.
I do love you.
I know.
Or maybe prayer is like this. God, it's me.
I know.
I know you know, because you are all wise. You know everything. You're the Creator God. You sustain earth. You put the stars in their places. You make the breeze happen. You're a lifesaver. You are my everything.
I know.
You promised never to leave me.
I know.
You promised I am your child.
I know.
You promised that if I believe in you, you are there for me.
I know.
You said you've got a plan for me, to prosper me and not to harm me.
I know.
You said I should ask for whatever I need.
I know.
And you said I shouldn't worry about anything.
I know.
I love you.
I know.
Or maybe prayers like this. God, it's me.
I know.
I love you.
I know.
Or maybe it's like this. God, it's me.
I know.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
I love you, Lord. I don't know about you, whether any of those types of prayer resonate with you. None of them are wrong. All of them are right. But you know what? I don't know about you, but I want to know more about prayer this year. I want to be in a better relationship with God. I want 2019 to be one of a better relationship. As a church, through the whole of Transform, we've been through a lot. And now is the time when we need to look together, to work together, to learn more about prayer. That prayer that was said in silence. I want to know more about that. I want to know, are the words failing me? Why are the words failing me? Or maybe I should just be silent and just listen to God. I want to know what specific prayers to pray. I want to pray specific prayers for my own kids. And I believe that the Alpha Prayer Course can offer what we need at this time. As we explore together, there's different elements of prayer. Praying specifically. What are the big prayers in your lives? Praying incrementally, where we may be praying for someone to come to know the Lord Jesus. But actually, maybe we should just pray, let me speak of God to them today. I want to know more about how I deal with disappointment of unanswered prayer, what seems to be unanswered prayer for me. And I want to learn more about what it means to keep going in prayer when I think I'm not being heard at all. So if this isn't one big plug for the prayer course on Wednesdays, I don't know what is. And I mean this wholeheartedly, that if you can commit to the next 6 weeks on a Wednesday evening, meet at 7, decent cup of coffee, decent biscuits, hopefully, to start at 7:30, finish by 9, and let's explore together prayer, what it means to pray. Amen.